She had to stay human. She thought better when she was human. Unfortunately, here and now, as a human, the thought occupying her mind in no small measure was that she was naked. Anyone finding a naked woman in their cellar would be bound to ask questions. They might not even bother with questions, even ones like, please. Angua could certainly deal with that situation, but she preferred not to have to. It was so difficult explaining away the shape of the wounds. No time to waste, then. The walls were covered in writing. Big letters, small letters, but all in that neat script which the golems used. There were phrases in chalk and paint and charcoal, and in some cases simply cut into the stone itself. They reached from floor to ceiling, crisscrossing one another, over and over again, so often that it was almost impossible to make out what any of them were meant to say. Here and there a word or two stood out in the jumble of letters. "Shalt not. What he does is not. Rage at the Creator. Woe unto the masterless. Words in the clay of our. Let my bring us to free." The dust in the middle of the floor was scuffed, as if a number of people had been milling around. She crouched down and rubbed the dirt, occasionally sniffing her finger. Smells. They were industrial smells. She hardly needed special senses to detect them. A golem didn't smell of anything except clay and whatever it was working with at the time. And something rolled under her fingers. It was a length of wood only a couple of inches long. A matchstick without a head. A few minutes' investigation found another 10 lying here and there as if they'd been idly dropped. There was also half a stick, tossed away some distance from the others. Her night vision was fading, but sense of smell lasted much longer. Smells were strong on the sticks, the same cocktail of odours that had trailed into this damp room. But the slaughterhouse smell she'd come to associate with Dorful was on only the broken piece. She sat back on her haunches and looked at the little heap of wood. 12 people. 12 people in messy jobs had come here. They hadn't stayed long. They'd had a discussion, the writing on the wall. They'd done something involving 11 matches, just the wooden part. They hadn't been dipped to get the head. Maybe the pine-smelling golem worked in a match factory. Plus one broken match. Then they'd all left and gone their separate ways. Dorful's way had taken him straight to the main watchhouse to give himself up. Why? She sniffed at the piece of broken match again. There was no doubt about the cocktail of blood and meat smells. Dorful had given himself up for murder. She stared at the writing on the wall and shivered.
"Cheers, Fred," said Nobby, raising his pint. "We can put the money back in the tea club tomorrow. No one will miss it," said Sergeant Colon. "Anyway, this comes under the heading of an emergency."
Corporal Nobbs looked despondently into his glass. People often did this in the Mended Drum, when the immediate thirst had been slaked, and for the first time they could take a good look at what they were drinking.
"What am I going to do?" he moaned. "If you're a nob, you've got to wear coronets and long robes and that. Got to cost a mint, that kind of stuff. And there's stuff you've got to do." He took another long swig. "It's called Noblus Obligi."
"Nobilius obligae," corrected Colon. "Yeah, means you got to keep your end up in society, giving money to charities, being kind to the poor, passing your old clothes to your gardener when there's still some good wear left in them. I know about that. My uncle was butler to old Lady Salachi."
"Ain't got a gardener," said Nobby gloomily. "Ain't got a garden. Ain't got any old clothes except what I'm wearing."
He took another swig.
"She gave her old clothes to the gardener, did she?"
Colon nodded.
"Yeah. We were always a bit puzzled about that gardener."
He caught the barman's eye. "Two more pints of Winkles, Ron." He glanced at Nobby. His old friend looked more dejected than he'd ever seen him. "They'd have to see this thing through together. Better make that 2 for Nobby, too," he added.
"Cheers, Fred."
Sergeant Colon's eyebrows raised as one pint was emptied almost in one go. Nobby put the mug down a little unsteadily.
"Wouldn't be so bad if there was a pot of cash," Nobby said, picking up the other mug. "I thought you couldn't be a nob without being a rich bugger. I thought they gave you a big wad with one hand and banged the crown on your head with the other. Don't make sense, being nobby and poor. It's worst of both worlds."
He drained the mug and banged it down.
"Common and rich, yeah, that I could herb. The barman leaned over to Sergeant Colan. "What's that with the corporal? He's a half-pint man. That's 8 pints he's had." Fred Colan leaned closer and spoke out of the corner of his mouth. "Keep it to yourself, Ron, but it's because he's a p-